Good evening. I want to welcome everyone to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church, the beginning of Lent, this Ash Wednesday. Thank you for coming out to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A few announcements. Most of these you can see in your bulletin. Remind you to hold your elements until we all take them together during communion. The library is always open as a crying room, a coughing room. Session will meet Tuesday, March the 11th. Bible Fellowship meets every Sunday at 9:30, and you can start signing up for the Easter flowers. We'll be participating in a one great hour of sharing. That offering will be taken up Palm Sunday, but you can give before that. Children's Book Fair this Thursday, March 6th, that's over at this building for the Glen Avenue Preschool that rents one of our rooms. And the deacons, you can read about what they're taking up. And if a child would like to be an acolyte, you can read about that. Just handed this announcement. The men's group of Saxonburg Presbyterian Church, Reverend David Brewer, have invited the men of Glenshaw Valley Church to join over 300 men at the men's conference this Saturday, March 8th, in the church building. The theme of the conference is Reverse the Curse, based on the scripture Malachi 4:6. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction. Speakers are Tommy Bowden, son of the famous coach Bobby Bowden. Tommy is the former coach of Clemson, one of the South Carolina teams. Reverend Steve Childs of Oklahoma, a general, and one of the actors from the movie Courageous. The conference begins at 8 a.m. and runs through 3 p.m. Tickets are $25 apiece, and that gives you a continental breakfast and fully catered lunch. Bill Mueller will be leaving the parking lot at 7:15, driving his van. He has room for four more, so you're welcome to ride with him or follow behind. So an excellent opportunity to enrich your relationship with God and to engage in Christian fellowship. So let Bill know if you're interested in going. Thank you, Bill. Remember to sign your pads, and we'll have a record of your attendance. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn of praise, 184, In the Cross of Christ I Glory. course, we continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed in your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we believe you are worthy to hear and answer our prayers. We confess that our only real comfort in life comes from you. Forgive us when we fail to spend time in your presence. Forgive us when all our prayers are about getting things. Teach us the value of talking with you on a daily basis. Help us to listen when you are speaking. Teach us to pray for ourselves, our families, our church, our government, and all that matters in this life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes, your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us once again unite in our faith by reciting our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
in God the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and stood upon the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a moment and greet one another.
I'm
Responsive reading, A Contemporary Affirmation of Faith on 718, back of your hymnals. We believe in Jesus Christ the Lord, who was promised to the people of Israel, who came in the flesh to dwell among us, who announced the coming of the rule of God, who gathered disciples and taught them, who died on the cross to free us from sin, who rose from the dead to give us life and hope, who reigns in heaven at the right hand of God, who comes to judge and bring justice to victory.
We believe in God, his Father, who raised him from the dead, who created and sustains the universe, who acts to deliver his people in times of need, who desires all men everywhere to be saved, who rules over the destinies of men and nations, who continues to love men even when they reject him.
We believe in the Holy Spirit, who is the form of God present in the church, who moves men and women to faith and obedience, who is the guarantee of our deliverance, who leads us to find God's will in the Word, who assists those whom he renews in prayer, who guides us in discernment, who impels us to act together.
We believe God has made us his people, to invite others to follow Christ, to encourage one another to deeper commitment, to proclaim forgiveness of sins and hope, to reconcile men to God through word and deed, to bear witness to the power of love over hate, to proclaim Jesus the Lord over all, to meet the daily tasks of life with purpose, to suffer joyfully for the cause of right, to the ends of the earth, to the end of the age, to the praise of his glory. Amen.
I invite Dale on the door. No prayer or praise requests? Okay.
We're very happy.
Good. I know Millie Mack is going in for laser surgery, cataract surgery, Friday. So let's be in prayer for her. And all the persons we've been praying for, and for all the Lenten services, people's lives will be touched. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening, once again being a part of Ash Wednesday and Lent with Easter coming. But it's a time for us to think about our lives and to think about who we are and our relationship with you. And yes, even to think about the sinful part of our nature and to lay that bare before you. and to once again ask for forgiveness. We know that we've been forgiven and have the right to enter heaven because of what Jesus Christ has done. But we desire to be better people, to rise above the things that keep us from a closer relationship with you. Help us to do that. And we pray for one another, that we'll gain strength through worshiping together, praying together, being the church. Help us in all areas of our lives. And we pray for all the persons in our mentioned in our valley, mentioned in our bulletin, for Millie, for the persons in nursing homes, for the persons who are ill, persons going through struggles that we may not know anything about, and all the struggles that each one of us are going through, whatever it may be, our health, our finances, relationship, jobs. Lord, you know our lives. We ask for your help. Thank you. And we thank you for this wonderful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn of preparation, 323, Let Us Break Bread Together.
Let's bow for a word of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for all the gifts that you have given to us that we can give back to you and your church and to your kingdom. Thank you that we use them for your glory and not for ours. Bless each person this night. Let them feel your presence and your love and your forgiveness. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our friend, we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Good evening, Church of Glenshaw Valley. In the scripture, the Lord taught us twice how to pray, once in Luke and a second time in Matthew, and it was within the Sermon on the Mount. In it, he told us how to pray and how to fast and how to give to the poor. So please listen to your own personal message as I read Matthew 6, 5 through 13. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of the many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Thank you, Bill. Prayer. Just the word prayer elicits a wide variety of responses and feelings. Everything from the most pious of responses to the most pitiful of excuses. The concept and practice of prayer has evoked much writing and discussion in Christian circles down through the ages, and most of us would profess fairly easily that we believe in prayer and that we believe that it is important. Most of us would have to confess, perhaps not so easily, that we do not pray as we should. As we begin our Lenten pilgrimage tonight, let us begin with prayer. And I mean that both literally and figuratively. Let us begin where Jesus always seemed to begin every venture and effort, with prayer. It is one of the Lenten disciplines espoused by the church for years, but it is more than just a discipline. So let us take some time as we begin Lent to explore what prayer is, or maybe what it's not. Part of the problem, I suspect, about our failure to pray more frequently is many of us feel uncomfortable with prayer in public and even in private. We don't seem to know how to pray, and because we get up all hung up on how to pray, we feel inadequate for the task, embarrassed sometimes by the act itself, unable to address God as we feel that we should. And so many of us simply just don't pray. Well, let's lay to rest some of the how-to part right away. I found a wonderful poem that will help us to put some that issue into a right perspective. Listen to Cyrus Brown's Prayer by Sam Walter Foss. The proper way for a man to pray, said Deacon Keyes, and the only proper attitude is down upon his knees. No, I should say, the way to pray, said Reverend Dr. Wise, is standing straight with outstretched arms and rapt, upturned eyes. Oh, no, 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 said Elder Slow. Such posture is too proud. A man should pray with eyes closed and head contritely bowed. It seems to me his hand should be austerely clasped in front, with both thumbs pointing towards the ground, said Reverend Dr. Blunt. Last year I fell in Hodgkin's well, head first, said Cyrus Brown, with both my heels a-sticking up, my head a-pointing down, and I made a prayer right then and there, best prayer I ever said, the prayingest prayer I ever prayed, a-standing on my head. Part of the difficulty lies in the fact that we do not live in a praying world. It really doesn't matter how you pray, where you are. But it is a frightening world, but it is not a world that knows how to pray. It perhaps would like to pray, but many have given up on the task of prayer. In a world that contains many who prayed once but have given up the effort, there are many gifted people in the world who do the best they can to meet the challenges of a troubled world and to seek to become worthwhile people while contributing what they can to society. But through it all, there's a sense of isolation from God, and because of that isolation, they feel alone in the struggle. The real problem is that most of us were never taught what prayer is and what prayer can be. We grew up confusing the God above with Santa, from whom we ask many gifts and favors, and on Christmas morning, we better get it. Well-meaning church theologians haven't helped much either. Their definitions and discussions on the matter often leave us cold and confused. I read about a well-known theologian in seminars say, prayer is basically man in the totality of being stretched out to possess the transcendent, awesome God in intimate inwardness of his deepest consciousness. Anybody know what that means? That sure clarifies things and sets our hearts and minds and really makes us want to pray, doesn't it? Now give me the wisdom of Grandpa Rucker, one of the lively characters in Olive Ann Burns' book, Cole Sassy Tree. Here's wisdom born of experience. Says Grandpa, another thing to think on, some folks ain't said pea turkey to God in years. They don't ask him for nothing, don't specially try to be good, and don't love nobody the way Jesus said to, except their own self. But they going to get just about as much or as little in the way of earthly goods as the rest of us. They going to have sorrows and joys, failures and good times. And when they come down sick and they going to get well or die, just same as the praying folks. So don't that tell you something about praying? Ain't the best praying just being with God and talking a while? Like he's a good friend? Instead of like he runs a store and you're coming in hoping to get a bargain? I think Rucker got to the heart of the matter and to our hearts. And that's where I'd like to leave it tonight. Prayer's being simply being in communion with God. Not something to be used when a need arises, when you're in a tight spot and you don't know where to turn. Prayer is being in a relationship so that God can speak to us, not just us pestering God with our grocery store list of wants. Prayer is finding peace in the midst of our troubles, calm in the midst of calamity, and love in the midst of our loneliness. It's not that we don't know how to pray, it's that we have lost what it means to be in a relationship with a loving, listening, forgiving, gracious, and merciful God. Prayer is the only skill the disciples ever asked Jesus to teach them. The only one. They didn't ask him to teach them, Lord, how do we heal people? Lord, how do we teach people? Lord, how do we ask for money? How do we run and moderate a meeting? How do we do miracles? How do we manage the crowds? How do we organize a movement? Or how do we start a church? All they asked was, Lord, teach us to pray. They asked him to teach them how to pray. And Jesus said, when you pray, say, Our Father. I want you to hear that. Our Father. Not our God. Not our Lord. Not Commander. Not Master. Not even really Jesus. Our Father. Our Father. Prayer was the way he began every important step of his life, Jesus did. Steps that led to Jerusalem, that led to the cross, and led to our salvation and our eternal life. So let us join him and listen to him. Let us all begin a prayer life, or renew the prayer life that we've let slide slowly by the way. Maybe it didn't happen all at once, but it's become stagnant, and you only bring it out when you really, really think you need it. If praying to the Father was good enough for Jesus and the apostles, then I, for one, think it's good enough for us. May God bless you. Amen. Come to the part for the sin offering, and I guess you've got your little slips of paper. You can write a sin down, whether it's something you've been struggling with for a long, long time. Maybe it's something you did today and you want to confess. Not to any of us, but just to God. And we're going to bring them up. No one's going to see them. I'm going to put them in here, and we're going to light them. The Old Testament talks about a sin offering, and we're going to do that. Just to make us think for a few moments about the sins that we have in our lives. Because there's anything that we don't like to think about, it's the negative things and the sins. Because we want to think about the good and what's right in our lives. But let's take a moment to do it. And when you do these papers, don't tighten them up so much that they won't burn. We want them to burn quickly. So nobody's going to look at them. I don't think anybody can read that quickly. So we'll give you a moment, and then the ushers will come by with the plates. Just as easily as this paper burns, whatever's written on these papers, when we ask God to forgive us, we are forgiven. Is burned up and it goes away, never to be remembered. We cannot be accused with that. It is gone. It's not God's desire to punish us or to remember the negatives, the bad in our lives, but to forgive us and to save us. That's why he sent Jesus into the world. Our communion hymn, Break Thou the Bread of Life, verses 1 and 2.
again go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, again we thank you for this night, for this Ash Wednesday, for a moment to think about prayer, to think about our relationship with you, to think about the sins that come into our lives that keep us from having the closeness with you that we should have. We confess those things to you and ask for your help. And we thank you for this communion, the Lord's Supper, that we can remember the sacrifice that you made, that we could have eternal life, that we could have the abundant life here upon this earth. Lord, you are good to us. Help us be good to ourselves, to our families, to one another, to those who do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Help us to be good ambassadors. Lord, thank you for your love, your forgiveness, your grace, and your mercy. May we truly be touched this night. In the precious name of our Lord, we pray. Amen. On the night our Savior was betrayed, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it. He said, "This is my body which has been given for you. As often as you eat it, do so in remembrance of me." Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." You have seen me, you have seen your Father. Let us with unity and reverence remember the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. On the same day that our Lord and Savior was betrayed, he took the cup of the New Testament, pouring it, saying, "This is my blood, which has been shed for the remission of the sins of the many. As often as you drink it, do so in remembrance of me."
Hymn of Response, Majesty, 74.
Majesty.
prayer this night. I hope that you felt loved. I hope that you feel cared for by God, by the members of this congregation. I hope that you'll go home with an attitude of prayer, communion with God, praying for yourself, praying for others, and just taking time to talk to God. Maybe about nothing special, but just establishing communication. We go from here in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.